So we're looking at Christian discipleship, and we'll continue from where we stopped last week. Matthew 28. Father, we're grateful for this morning. We ask that our hearts filled with insight by your word and by your spirit. We ask that clarity is ministered and vision in the same. We will see what you're doing with us, what you said to do on the earth, and our place in it, even in discipleship. You help us to understand the true orderliness of things. So then I will walk in it, do your work your way, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. So Matthew 28 is the text. It says in 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It is 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And it is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Alright. So we said a couple of things, and if you observe what I've been doing, I've been giving us two simultaneous emphases. I've been talking about meetings, and I'm talking about discipleship, right? Alright, so I will unite the thoughts as we go on. Amen. Alright. So quickly, we said discipleship has a lot to do with meetings. Amen. We said it has a lot to do with meetings. Now in Matthew 28 there, we observe that the instruction, and I said that already, that the instruction to make disciples, because that's what teach there, to make disciples, that instruction, we said, is a corporate instruction, right? Right? Good. So that means, look at this, discipleship is not done in isolation. It is not given in isolation. It is not received in isolation. And that is the background of Christian meetings. Amen. I thought on Sunday, put it this way, that the things that helps us to be strong Christians are things that happen in the what? Corporate meetings. What we do with them in the what? The private places. The things that we receive in corporate meetings, and what we do with them in our private moments. Amen. We said the teaching meeting is primary. We said there is also a meeting to pray. I showed you that the teaching meeting answers the what? The why questions. The what? The why questions. And many times prayer fits in to the how. The how. So that's where identification takes place. The how. So we said there's a teaching meeting of the church, which is primary. We said the number two meeting of a local assembly of a church is the prayer meeting. Then we saw the instructions to pray. Are we together? For example, in Ephesians 6, let's look at that text. I'll open my text, that text today. Ephesians 6, in verse 15, and your faith shall be the preparation of the gospel of it. Now, if you don't understand that, look at context, look at 10. Ephesians 6, 10. Are we there? Now, we read together. It says, finally, my brethren. So, look at this. Is he talking to? Did he say, finally, my brother? Or my brethren? Huh? Okay, so if you read brethren as brother, you
already started losing what's been said. You get it? He's talking to a people. Did you see that? It's a people. A people is being addressed, not an individual person. So he says, finally, my brethren, let's see together, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So look at this. Paul is saying the whole church should be strong. The whole what? The whole what? You know how we read it? Sometimes. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. And then the sister reading is, he's saying, I know what Paul means. Paul is saying, finally, my sister. Finally, my sister. Finally, my brother. Be strong in the Lord. I'm strong. No. This is my brethren. Praise God. My brethren. Now, look at this. Why will you tell your whole church to be strong? It gives you a sense that it's a corporate mission. There's a what? Corporate mission. Did you get it? It gives you a sense. Why will you tell the whole church to be strong? If someone comes in here now and the person begins to exhort our church to be strong, to be strong, to be strong. If you isolate yourself from the corporate perspective of that instruction, you will not act out the reason behind instruction. But it does not come to address an individual Christian. It talks to a church. So that is the way to see an ecclesiological instruction. So, why will he tell a whole church, be strong, a whole church? And in the church, there will be young folks. Are we together? There will be the aged. There will be the male, the female. Are we together? Men, women. There will be the married. There will be what? The unmarried. And he is not instructing individually. Amen. He's giving a corporate instruction. That means, first of all, look at this. It means there is something the churches have been taught that everybody saw common to themselves. There's a common mission. Someone say common mission. Amen. I can't come to you now and say, the whole church be strong. Are we together? I don't think I was strong. Because I don't know what happened in your life. This is to be strong. But if I come to an entire church and I say, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, be strong. So it's a corporate instruction. That means I have put everybody together. So there's something we all have in common. We share a fellowship of responsibility. We are in a fellowship of responsibility. In the light of that responsibility, which we all have to execute together, he says to the whole church, be what? Be strong. Are you with me? So he says, finally, my brethren, a people. Someone say a people. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he says, put on the whole armor of what? Of God. Are we together?
So again, the instruction is to a people to put on the whole armor of God. Now that word whole armor is tautology. You don't say armor and use the word whole. Are we together? Are we together? Armor is already a complete set of things. Are we together? But it's fine. It's just emphasis. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. Look at the next thing he says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, are we standing corporately? Look at me, church. Are we standing corporately? Are we putting on the armor corporately? Is it an individual armor or a corporate armor? Is it an individual armor or a corporate armor? Now, he says that you may be able to stand against what? So, look at me, church. It means that, look at what he's saying. Look at this. He says, put on the what? The armor. So, you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm trying to show you that you can claim to be wearing an armor and you will fall prey to the enemy. And that is like contrary to what Paul is saying. But Paul is saying that the way you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy is by putting on the armor. But now you can claim to have put on the armor and you fall prey. Why? Look at this. Because you ignore a fact. It's a corporate armor. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? So when you put on the corporate armor, then you will be what? You will be what? Able to stand. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because you will observe as we go on that part of the armor is the next person to you. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Why did he say he should put on the armor? For what reason? Read the text. It's there. You have your Bible to read. Read the text. It's there. I didn't ask you to read that. I said, why? That you will be able to what? Stand against the wise of the devil. That's the purpose of the armor. Are we together? Praise God. That's the purpose of the armor. The purpose of the armor is so I can what? Take a stand. Obviously, he's teaching from 1 Samuel 17. David and Goliath. That's where he's teaching from. He's not far stretched. Amen. So, the reason for the armor is to what? Is to what? Be able to stand. Amen. But you can put on an armor and yet you are not able to what? Stand. Why? Why? When you don't put it on, how? It's a corporate armor. My brethren. So it doesn't talk to you alone. Are we together? Look at the next thing. It says, for we wrestle a people against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against what? Spiritual wickedness in high. Now, notice something. Look at me. Notice something. Observe that our warfare is not against a singular entity. So you can't battle it in isolation. You won't survive. Did you see how we pluralized? Are we together? So God's wisdom is a corporate assembly. A corporate involvement. Because even the things that we are warring against, are we together? Are in what? They are in what? They are in a corporation. Someone say corporation. Are you with me? Are you with me? So you must learn to read in between the lines. So it shows you that what you are worrying at is not one person. There are forces, there are people. You can't do it in isolation. So it takes a people, are we together, to surmount a community of forces. Is it clear, George? Look at me. Even Jesus didn't dare it alone. He had that community. And to show you how he had entrenched that into the minds of the disciples, in Acts 3 and Acts 4, when Peter and the rest, they encountered opposition, the Bible said they went, he didn't say, and each person went into the prayer closet. No! He didn't say each person went into the prayer closet. He says they went into their what? Into their own what? Company. And together, they lifted up their voice. I think we have a teaching like that. Your company in the Lord, right? Right? Yeah. I'm teaching like that. I emphasize it. Church and local church. Your company, your people, your company in the Lord. So, he says, wherefore take unto you the what? The armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all what? To stand. Is it a personal stand or a corporate stand? Stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth. Is it a corporate instruction? Yes. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod. Can you read from your Bible, please? Open your Bibles. Is your Bibles opened? Yeah. You're in church. And your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Is this corporate? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of what? Of the wicked. Also, I told you that the shield of faith is translated the shield of faithfulness. The word faith and the word faithfulness is the same word pistis. So many times the text will reveal that word. The shield of faithfulness, your faithfulness. Staying with it, sticking with it, is how you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, 17. And take the helmet of what? Salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as I said in prayer, right? 18, it says, always, with all prayer and supplication, where? In the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all what? and supplication for what? For the saints. Did you see that? So you observe that if you read verse 18, what do you find out? You find believers praying for one another. He now said 19, and for me. So, wait. How did you read Ephesians? Right from Ephesians 1, whose prayer did you read? Paul. He was praying for who? The saints. That the eyes of understanding be enlightened. Verse 17 and 18, right? But you see again, at the close, he says, pray for me. So prayer is an exchange. Did you see that? Did you see that? So you are praying for the other is praying for you, and he includes that in the armor. He includes that in the armor. So look at this. Look at me, everybody. Part of our armor, are you with me? Are you with me? Is that we are praying for him. Are we together? In our prayers, he is involved. In our prayers, she is involved. In our prayers, she is involved. And because he is involved, they are praying for him. And because she is involved, he is praying for her. Are we together? Why? Because there's a corporate mission. There's a corporate mission. A corporate mission. So, part of the armor is a saint praying for other saints. And another saint praying for the other saints. Are we together? So, you cannot claim to be putting on or to have put on the armor of God, as Paul had said, and you are found where? In isolation. It's a corporate armor. It's a corporate armor. Praise God. The spirit of prayer is a corporate armor. A corporate armor. That means when we are receiving prayer reports, your name is included. Every time when prayer reports come in, your name is what? Included. Every time. When your prayer group leader is sending a report of your attendance and participation in prayer meeting, your name is what? So it shows us that you are putting on the what? The corporate armor. So it's a corporate armor. You can claim to be putting on an armor, you fall prey. Because you have not discerned the body. The armor belongs to the body, not you. So you put it on because you are part of the body. Why? Because the body has a mission. The armor is for the mission. Praise God forevermore. So, I told us, I said last week, that the things that makes us strong Christians are not things that we do in isolation. The things that makes us strong Christians are corporately done. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. So, we have that instruction to pray. To pray. To pray. We'll see instruction in Romans chapter 12 also on prayer. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It says in 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in what? In prayer. Are we together? Again, a corporate instruction. Observe that distributing to the necessity of the saints and being given to hospitality is a corporate instruction. Are we together? So the church is given to hospitality. We will see it in the life of every member, but it's a church trait. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? So it says distribution to the necessity of saints. So welfare in the church is what? A corporate mission. The church is engaged in welfare. Are you with me? The church is engaged in welfare. The church is engaged in welfare. The church is engaged in hospitality. The church. That means you are part of it. You are in it. The church. So it says, being continue instant in prayer. The church. Instant in prayer. And instant has to do with consistency. Consistency. The church. So there is something such as the whole church being consistent in prayer. So this is not, you know, it's not likely that you will see someone just say, I like the way brother so and so prays. The way he say, is that saying, I like the way so and so person prays, you are backsliding. Yeah, I like the way so and so prays. Because prayer is a what? It's a corporate thing that we are all engaged in. The whole church. So that's why there will not be a prayer department. Are you with me? For what? Do you get it? It's a corporate instruction. The saints are trained to pray. We will get more done when every member of the church is involved in heartfelt prayers. Because we have a corporate mission. So it's not like prayer band. Why? Because I am busy in my life. I'm a business person. I work in a multinational company. And so I really don't have that time to pray. So there's a prayer. Nothing like that. A prayer department. There's nothing like that. The whole church. So you observe that one of the wisdom that we will use to ensure that is to now have prayer days, prayer meetings, prayer what? Groups. Are you with me? Are you with me? So we can say, choose a day of the week. There is a prayer group, a prayer meeting that day. Submit to the prayer leader. So we can have prayer groups daily in the week for people to be able to what? To join. Are you with me? Because the whole church has the responsibility to what? To pray. It's a corporate armor. And your business, your career has been taken care of by that instruction. Are you with me? Are you with me? The person who gave the instruction, Paul, that the whole church should pray, just read the last chapter of those books. You will observe that he is listing a number of people that have various unconnected professions. So your profession is not the reason to not be involved in the corporate prayer. Your profession is not the reason. I'm a doctor. Join a prayer group. I'm a pharmacist. Join a prayer group. I'm a lecturer at university. There's a prayer group for you. I'm a trader. There's a prayer group for you. Are we together? Are we together? I am a this. There's a prayer group for you. So, we will have the wisdom of prayer groups in the church. And look at me. The pastor is also a member of a prayer group. The pastor is also a member. The pastor has a prayer group.
just like every other worker, every other member, has what? A prayer group. Are we together, church? Are we together? Are we together? So, it's a corporate what? Hammer. A corporate instruction. It says, continue instant in prayer. The whole church. The whole church. We will see signs of it, the practice of it, in individual lives. Are we together? Because it is going to be caught. Individuals are going to catch that spirit, catch that attitude from the what? The corporate practice. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? 1 Thessalonians 5, a corporate instruction. 17. 1 Thessalonians 5. 17. Pray without what? Ceasing. The whole church. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Can we take it? Verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which what? Labor among you and over you in the Lord, and what? Admonish them. Is this a corporate instruction for the whole church? Is this an instruction for a selected group of people to practice in the church? Huh? Look at 13. Esteem them what? For and be at peace. Is this a corporate instruction? Are all to practice this? Is this a corporate instruction? Are all to practice this? 14, everyone. Read on. Be patient toward all. That is one another. Is this a corporate instruction? Are all to practice it? Can I ask you, are all to practice it? 15, everyone. The people in the center are not reading. The people in the center are not reading. Can we take that verse 15 together? I want to go. Look at 16, everyone. So, is this what are all to do it? Are all to do it? Are all to do it? Look at 17, everyone. Again. So, are all to do it? So, how many people are to be involved in the church prayer life? All believers in the church. So, a sign that you are a member of a church is that you do not miss the prayer meetings. You are there. And look at me. Look at me. Look at me. What we are reading are not suggestions. They are a command. God has commanded you to be in the church prayer meetings. It's not a suggestion. There's nothing that looks like a suggestion in what you are reading. It's not a suggestion. It's an instruction by the Spirit of God. So we have been commanded, instructed by the Spirit of God to not miss the prayer meetings of the church. Don't miss the prayer meetings. Be there. And be there on time. And participate. Because you being in the prayer meetings is not about you. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Is about what God is doing in the church. God will use your presence in the prayer meetings to strengthen other believers. We have seen in Division 6. So it's not about you. So even when I'm not feeling strong, motivated, I'm not, the way my day went, I don't feel like, it's not about you. It's not about you.
Are we together?
It's about God using you to strengthen the other believers. And by your involvement, God using the other believers to also what? Strengthen you, as everyone strengthens what? One another. So there is that instruction to be in the what? The prayer meetings of the church.
Are we together?
A corporate instruction. A corporate instruction to be in the prayer meetings. Colossians 4 verse 2, the same. Instructions to the church. So, we have a corporate instruction to pray together. A corporate instruction. So we said that is a meeting of the church. Are we together? Another meeting of the church we mentioned is the evangelistic meeting. I told you that what makes a meeting is what? Is what? The motive, yes. The motive and the activity. Yeah, the number, two or three. Two or three. When we have two people or three, that's become a meeting. With a motive and the activities in there. I can have an engagement outside and then discover that the person I'm interacting with is also a Christian. And maybe the person has come with another friend who is also a Christian. That's not a Christian meeting. That doesn't make it a Christian meeting. Are we together? But the moment there are two people or three, and our motive. So the moment the motive is in the name of the Lord, where two or three, Matthew 18, are gathered in my name. My name there means in my authority and for my purpose. My authority for my purpose. My authority for my purpose. So the moment the motive is for the purposes of the Lord, it has become a meeting. So it can be to teach in the name of the Lord, to pray in the name of the Lord, or to reach out to a soul, are we together, who is unsaved, in the what? In the name of the Lord. It can also be to heal in the name of the Lord, to flow in the things of the Spirit in the name of the Lord. So we can have an evangelistic meeting means to evangelize is the motive. Are we together? And evangelism is the activity. Evangelistic meeting. To evangelize is the motive. What does it mean to evangelize? Evangelize from the word evangel. Evangel has to do with news. News. Evangel. So to evangelize means to bear a news. To carry forth a news, that is to persuade another person to receive of a news. To persuade another person to subscribe unto a news, unto a message. Are we together? That is evangelizing the person. To win the person over. So we call it soul winning. To win the person over. So an evangelistic meeting is when we have two or three people or more coming together for the purpose of reaching out to the unsaved and getting them born again. Are we together? Helping them to receive salvation through the preaching of the gospel. Is it clear? That is an evangelistic meeting.
So again, that is also a meeting of a church. So when we are out evangelizing the people, what are we doing? We are holding evangelistic meetings. On a typical Saturday in our church, we hold several evangelistic meetings in the communities, across different communities, because we have a cell evangelism, cell unit evangelism. Are we together? Are we together? A cell unit evangelism, where the cell evangelizes the community, the people in this community. So we have evangelistic meetings. And what is on our mind? Are we together? That was going to be by motive. Motive has to do what is on our mind. So what is on our mind is to help people to receive salvation through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto them. Are we together? So look at this. Observe that there's an activity. The activity is preaching. So evangelism means that you are talking, you are preaching, you are engaging the sinner. Are we together? The unsaved, rather. You engage the unsaved. That means you will have conversations with the unsaved. There is no evangelism without conversation. Amen? There is no evangelism without what? A conversation. A conversation is that you speak with him, you will hear him, you will respond. In that response, you will put direction to his thoughts. Are we together? He will be convinced of his state. Then he will see what Christ offers. Then you persuade him, answering his questions and dealing with unbelief in his heart. You will deal with unbelief with words. That is why we pray in view of evangelism. You will deal with unbelief. And unbelief can have different forms. Different forms. But it is still unbelief. Are we together? Are we together? Unbelief can come via excuses. It's still unbelief. It's still unbelief. So you have a wisdom to deal with unbelief in the heart of your what? Of your audience. To the end that he receives, he is convinced and receives the gospel in his heart. Are we together? That's evangelism. So it means that, look at this everyone, look at me everyone. To go to the street and write on the placard, Jesus is the Savior, and you stand on the earth and you're silent, ye, is a waste of time and a waste of resources. Because God gave you the Spirit to preach. He gave you the Spirit to have conversations. He said it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that are lost. So you have to preach. Now, why do you use the word foolishness? Because the what is that foolishness? Are we together? If people are going to be saved, what saves people is conversation. People are saved through conversation. You discuss God's will with them. You hear them. That is when you can be sure that the information has entered their heart. Because there's a conversation. Many times in that conversation, the person is allaying his fears. Many times, sometimes the reason why someone will not believe is because the person is from a background or a religion that they might attack him. So you have to teach the word, explaining to him the reality of salvation. Some people have been condemned, and they feel that the message of the gospel that kind is here to condemn them. So you have to explain to them that it is not condemnation that is being brought to them. Rather, it is justification, only that it is through what? Faith. Some folks feel that they are already saved by practicing a different kind of religion. So you have to show them it is through conversations. Intelligent, prayer-filled, spirit-filled
conversations in the scriptures that people are convinced that Christ is the Savior.
Are we together? Are we together?
So you have to say something. You have to preach. I've told you over the years that the word preaching was used for the gospel. The word keruzo. Keruzo was used more than 60 times for the gospel in the New Testament books. More than 60 times. The word keruzo. It means that the gospel is communicated by saying it. The gospel is communicated by telling it. You go and tell.
Are we together? Are we together? Are we together?
The message of the gospel. And that word gospel itself, euangelion, is a word that we find in the Old Testament books. The word gospel wasn't first time used for the first time in New Testament books. It was the Old Testament. When you look at the gospel of the Old Testament, you read from Genesis, and then you read through the book of the Kings and Chronicles, you observe that that word gospel was brought in from the old time culture of an herald. An herald. That's why you ask someone today, say, what's the meaning of a gospel? The person will say, good news. That's not true. It's a myopic explanation of the word gospel. The word gospel means the news of the kingdom. When you go into the Old Testament books, you will observe that oftentimes when they go to war, are we together? When nations go to war with each other, after the war, during the war, some nations will fall and then some will triumph. Are we together? So the message is now brought back to the nation. So many times, there is an herald that goes to the city and announces before the soldiers arrive that, hey, we have won the what? The victory. So that herald that takes the message of the victory at war to the city is the evangelist bearing the gospel. So the message of the kingdom that is the affair at the war front, the message of kingdoms, the affairs at the war front, brought to the city to hear it, is what we call the gospel. Many times in that message, there is also the not good part. For example, the nation won, but you lost your son. Are you with me? Oh, your husband is lost. He died. But we won the what? But ultimately, it's a good news. But within the message, you see facts that are not pleasant. The same way Christ would die for sins, his death, the gruesome death, is not a pleasant fact. But ultimately, to the hearer, is what? It does you good. So yes, the gospel does the hearer good, but it does not mean it contains with facts. Are we together? Are we together? It does not mean that it contains what? Sweet facts. That is why in preaching the gospel, Jesus said that you cannot preach the gospel and not also mention the repercussion of not believing. So it is part of the gospel to tell the man who rejects it that you are going to hell. You must not leave him without saying that, or else you have not preached the gospel. It's not sweet facts. Are we together? But if he believes the gospel, then he's justified. If he does not believe the gospel, then he goes into eternal damnation. So there is no preaching of the gospel where the complete facts, the fruits of faith, and the consequence of unbelief is not made clear to the what? To the hearer. Are we together? He said in John Mark 16:50, he that believes shall be saved. He that believes not shall be what? Shall be damned. The same thing in John's Gospel 20:22. He says, those sins you forgive, he says, I have remitted them. And those you retain, he said, I shall be retained. So in the message of the gospel, we also find Paul many times when he preached and people rejected. You look at his use of words. So the message of the gospel does not exclude the announcing of the consequence of rejecting it. in the what? Ears of what? Of the hearer. Are we together, church? So that is an evangelistic meeting. To go out for the purpose of winning souls unto the Lord. The main goal is not to drive people to your church. Is it clear? The main goal is to get men saved. But upon salvation, you must ensure that you have them in your church. Is it clear? Because your church is the best place to disciple the person that you got saved. Amen. I said amen. Sometimes someone tell me, say, he used to call me Bro Kevin then. He says, Bro Kevin, he says, there's these people I have, and then I got them, say, I want them to be coming to the church where you are. I said, so what happened to your church? I said, you know, my church, we are not really fed the word. You are just very foolish. What are you doing there? You are not really fed the word, and so what are you doing there? If you cannot bring a new believer who should be discipled, if you cannot bring a new believer into the church where you attend, then what are you doing there? Are we together, church? So the purpose of evangelism will be to win souls, but immediately after the souls are won, you must have them established in the church. Because the work is discipleship. Are we together? So is teaching part of discipleship? Can I get a response? Is prayer and prayer meetings, teaching and teaching meetings, part of discipleship? Prayer and prayer meetings, part of discipleship? Evangelism, evangelistic meetings, part of discipleship? Evangelistic meetings can also be crusades. Where we say crusades, that is open air evangelistic meetings, where a lot of people are gathered to publicly hear corporately the preaching of the gospel, usually accompanied with miracles, signs and wonders to help people believe the word. Are we together? To help people believe the word. And that is also evangelistic meeting, and it's also a meeting of the church. Hallelujah. It's also the meeting of the church. Nobody is saved in isolation. Somebody met with you to share the gospel. Somebody met with you. Are we together? Somebody met with you. Someone said, no, nobody met with me. I only read my Bible and I was born again. Well, people don't usually get born again that way. Are we together? Which one do you think was easy for God to do to Cornelius? To get a copy of Genesis to Malachi across to Cornelius, or to Saint Peter? Which one was easy for God? It was easier to just get a copy across. The angel could have told him, hey guy, don't trouble yourself. Go down the bookshop down the street. You see that bookshop? Yes. Ask for and buy it and read it. Thou shalt be fine. Blessed be thou amongst men. Fume is gone. Said for Peter. And you see how it's kind of, let me use the word stress. You can't say God is stressed, okay? But you can see how it took God some work to get Peter down there. God had to show him a large sheet from heaven. And then he saw, and it happened three times. See, Zachariah did not have to see Gabriel three times. The man was in faith and expectation. Paul did not have to see Jesus three times. Peter had to see the sheet three times. Are we together? To show you that
God was trying to undo unbelief in his heart. Even in the midst of that, as he was still thinking, what is this? I've not eaten any unclean thing. As he was thinking about it, the men that Cornelius sent were already at the door. The Holy Spirit still had to tell him, follow them doubting nothing. The guy was still doubting. And you observe that by the time Peter got back in Acts 10, when you go and read Acts 11, Peter had to face a panel. Are you with me? Peter now had to face a panel, and they were drilling him. We heard that you went to eat with a Gentile. Why? Because in their minds, they were not used to preaching to Gentiles. We'll see that text shortly. Even when there was persecution, when persecution arose, and all the Christians scattered, before Acts 10, that was Acts 7. Even at the killing of Stephen, people still scattered. Why Paul, in Acts 9, are we together? Was still consenting to, you know, Stephen's death, and then persecuting. People were scattering. All the places they scattered to, they made sure they did not preach to a non-Jew. Hey! Yet Jesus had taught them that all nations, that aspect of their mind was locked. It was locked. So God had to show him a vision. That means if Peter had not received the vision, Peter might not have gone to the house of Cornelius. If God had not shown him that vision and say, hey, the voice said, well, rise up and what? Eat. Yeah, he was saying, God said, rise up and eat. You are telling him that I've not eaten any unclean thing. That was God's way of showing him, I have brought to you what you regard as unclean to now fellowship with and accept. The Gentiles that you have treated as unclean, I am sending you to have a fellowship with them. So while he was thinking on that vision, this is unusual. How will I see a vision that, and the Lord says I should get up and eat unclean things? This is unclean. Then the man knocked. So he understood that, a Gentile man has sent guys. The Gentiles? That's the unclean thing. As he was still doubting, the Holy Spirit said, go. Stop doubting. Go. So it was easy for God to just get him to get a copy of the Bible. The same stupid thing I would tell people today. Now that you are born again, get a copy of the Bible and join the Bible believing church. What do you mean by get a copy of the Bible? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by getting a copy of the Bible? You that you have been born again for 20 something years, have you understood the Bible? Have you understood the Bible on your own? You now say a new believer, a fresh believer, should get a copy of the Bible. That is when you will be reading the Bible and be doing all sorts of things like an herbalist. You are the one that is responsible. Are we together? You have been born again for 20 something years. Someone is still telling you to bring blue candle and purple candle that has olive leaf attached to it, and to mix the candle with coconuts at 2 a.m. naked, and be reading some something to water and using it to wash your eyes and be saying uru uru shala. With 20 something years of having a Bible. And it is the same you that you are telling someone, you are not saying, Christian is a personal thing. Can't you see that you are almost personally destroyed? Is it the same sort of people saying, Christian is a personal thing? Christian is a personal thing. It's only God that knows who is serving him. See, if you are not serving God, tell us. We know those who are serving God.
It's only God that knows who is serving. Who told you that?
Lord Nicolo Mendoza, who told you? It's because you are not serving him. When you are serving him, the whole world will what? Will know. We don't need anybody to tell us, those who have devoted themselves to drinking and womanizing. We all can see people who have devoted themselves to cultism and gangsterism. Yahoo, stealing, internet fraud. We can see it. When you are given to the Lord, we will see. Are we together? We will see it.
We will observe it. We can see. We can see men in the Old Testament who had not received the indwelling of the Spirit in them. It was so clear that Daniel was is not part of us. It was so clear. The guy saw that this Daniel. In fact, this Daniel, the statement is in it, this Daniel. They knew that this one is different. The three Hebrew guys, they knew that this one is different. Because look at this. When there is a fiery love, you don't stress to see it. When there is a fierce love, a fierce passion, when somebody is fiercely passionate about somebody, it is written all over him. When a woman is fiercely passionate about a man, it is written all over her. You almost can't tell us any other thing. Are you with me? Are you with me? You can't tell us any other thing. You can't advise a young man who is passionately, passionately in love with a sister. It is written all over him. DP is there. He's there. He's written. Are we together? So the same thing, if a man is given over to the devotion, are we together? If a man is devoted and consecrated to the plans and purposes of God, it is written all over him. Are we together? Are we together? 24th, which I say, Wolo Paji, Emi Mopa, Emi Mopa, Emu Pajesu, Emu Pa, and let's say, Leno, no Mizimo Timobe. Are we together? It is observed. So, it was easy, it should have been easy for God to say, hey, just get the Bible. Just get the Bible. But God had to send Peter to show you that the gospel must be what? Preached. There are things that happen when a man takes it upon himself to tell the gospel to the other person. There is a move of the Spirit that is given free expression. Are we together? So he says, why Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost embraced. Glory to God forevermore. The Holy Ghost fell. So, evangelism. In evangelism, what do we do? We what? We what? We say the message. You tell him. You don't write it somewhere. Heaven is real. Even demons know. Is it clear? Demons know. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is that you now come and explain heaven. So you show him that God is not waiting for you to come to heaven. He has brought heaven to you. Are we together? If you receive Christ, it's heaven in your heart. It's evangelism. That's evangelism. That's evangelism. That's evangelism. Don't say, the world is no more reading Bible. It is Christians now that they are reading. It's not true. It is again another approach to hide and be irresponsible. Yeah, the world is not reading. It's not reading the Bible again. It is Christians. It is Christians they are reading. They will read it for years. You go preach the gospel. Yes, now there are times when people make such statements and they are trying to exhort you to have a good conduct. It is true. But you must understand that your conduct is not the gospel. Your conduct is not the gospel. Your conduct saves nobody, even though your conduct could give someone a chance to now listen to the message that saves. Are we together? My conduct can make somebody to pay attention to the message that saves. But your conduct is not the gospel. The conduct is not the gospel. So, evangelism, evangelistic meeting, again, it's a meeting of the church. Is that a corporate instruction? Is it a corporate instruction? Is it a corporate instruction? So is it a corporate instruction? And the whole church is involved in what? Evangelism. So look at this. Do you think we will have a church and there's an evangelism department? No. There won't be an evangelism department in the church. There can be individuals in the church that leads us on evangelism. Are we together? But there won't be a department of evangelism because it's a corporate what? Assignment. I say it this way, that every man that has been saved by the gospel has been called by that same gospel to preach the gospel to others. It's a corporate assignment. A corporate meeting. Are we together? So I'll begin to close shortly. So going out to carry out the Great Commission is a corporate instruction. Matthew 28:19 is a corporate instruction. The whole church. So does that mean that we can have outreach groups that probably reaches out at different times of the week, of the day, of the month, of the week, right? In different communities? Yes. And that is a wisdom to help every member to be part of what? Evangelism. Because now you can join one of those outreach groups and be committed to it. Just like you join one of those prayer groups, committed to it. Are we together, church? What is it? Instruction. In Mark 16, in Mark 16, verse 15, again, a corporate instruction. Go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, a corporate instruction. Luke 24:49, corporate instruction. Acts 1:8. John 20:22-23, corporate instruction. Are we together? Maybe I'll talk about this later. But I observed something in the Old Testament books. I mentioned this briefly sometime, but I'll mention it again, then I'll explain it later on. I observed something in the Old Testament books. I observed that what today we call conversion. Are we together? What is the proof that someone has been converted? What's the proof? What's the proof that somebody is now born again? What's the proof? I think that's the question. And then we'll study it later on. But one of the things I observe is that in the Old Testament, there was a room for non-Jews to become Jews. There was a room for non-Jews, non-people of God. Israel was described as the nation of God, the people of God. So there were room for non-Israelites to become what? Israelites. And the way that they proved that a non-Israelite had become an Israelite, what I mean by that is that the person has started worshipping Yahweh, the God of Israel. The proof, many times, is that the person is now welcomed into their feasts and congregations. The person now also begins to live out the law. The person joins the congregation of the people and begins to fellowship with them. So it tells you that amidst many things, that is a proof that someone is born again, a physical proof to us that somebody has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Is that the person
will begin to worship with us. The person will begin to attend the meetings of the church and be committed to those meetings. So commitment to Christian meetings. You are in the meetings for the purposes of the meetings, in the place of the meetings, doing the activities of the meetings, committed to the meetings, being about the meetings, doing everything about the meetings, joining the meetings, praying in the prayer meetings, in the teaching meetings, you are in the special meetings, you are around in the meetings. Many times, even when we are having a natural gathering, that this is not a teaching meeting, it's not a Christian meeting, maybe we are meeting together out to celebrate somebody, is having a birthday, or is doing this, is doing that. The meetings of the church, your attitude to the meetings is how we are going to tell whether you are born again. Your attitude to the meetings. So meetings are a major thing in Christianity. Are you with me? Meetings, evangelistic meetings. Praise God. And then you observe, I begin to close shortly, that evangelistic meetings happen outside the church wall. You observe that. Yes. In Acts 2, outside the church. Acts 3, outside the church. In Acts 8, outside the church. One of the reasons why I already said that you must preach the gospel is that evangelistic meetings has a lot to do with answering people's questions. It's not that rubbish that you just put a note on your status and say you are evangelizing. That's not evangelism. That's you being lazy. When you evangelize, see, evangelism is work. That is why part of the people we honor most in Christianity are soul winners. If you are not a soul winner, we don't honor you much. We like you, we love you. But if you are not a soul winner, we don't, because it is not easy to win a soul. What did Daniel, we've read that text 100 times, how did Daniel describe soul winners? He says he's a soul winner. Look at Daniel. See, I can keep talking like this for 6, 8, 10 hours, but I'm going to stop soon so that you get it. What does Daniel say in Daniel 12 verse 3? I want everybody to open their Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. If you don't know where Daniel is, let somebody beside you help you to locate Daniel. The book of Daniel, prophet Daniel, or Daniel the prophet, rather. Are you there now? So let us read verse 3 together. Everybody wants to go? Can you see that? So let me tell you something. That means, look at this. Christianity has its own stars. What's the other word for star? Celebrity. Are you with me? And the celebrity of Christianity are not those you call celebrity pastor. No. They are not the pastor making waves on YouTube. No. The celebrities, the stars, the models of Christianity. The models of Christianity, are you with me? The models of Christianity are men who win souls. Are we together? Men who win what? Souls. Those are the models of Christianity. Are we together? You're trying to locate Daniel, you go to Isaiah, you go to Jeremiah, you scale into Ezekiel. Then you see Daniel. Are we together?
Are we together? Winning souls. Winning souls. So those are the people that we honor, revere so highly. People that labor. Because many things are easy. What did I say? Many things in life are what? Are easy. So that is why you find multitudes around what? Easy stores. Because many things are easy. But look at me. Few things are what? Difficult. Few things. Few things are difficult. Few things are challenging. So you'll find few people around challenging things. Are you with me? And it's the same everywhere, in every field. It's the same in medicine, it's the same in law, it's the same in science, it's the same in agriculture, it's the same in education, it's the same in law, it's the same in politics, it's the same in military, it's the same in warfare, it's the same in human relations, sociology, law, different fields of life. Mining, petroleum, is the same thing. Because few things are what? Difficult. So you find few people around the difficult things triumphing in them. In Christianity. But look at this. Great honor. Great honor is around those what? Few things. If you are the kind of person that you like to do the easy things, it means that you will not really be greatly honored in your lifetime. Are you with me? You like to do the what? The easy things. It means that you will not really be greatly honored in your lifetime. Yes. You will not greatly be honored. Because people honor great value. Are you with me? Things of great value. Are we together? Are we together? Yes. So you don't be the type that you just like easy things. Anytime something is not going the way you have planned it, it changes your mood. Immediately it turns you off. Immediately. You are discouraged, disconnected. You become moody. Because you have planned that I'll do this after that. The results of this I'll not use it for this. And then the moment you start out, you observe that things are not going the way you planned. Suddenly, everything changes. It means that you are doing away. Your attitude to difficult things is your attitude towards honor. Is your attitude towards great honor. You can't have it. You will not be greatly honored because you are doing the cheap things. The simple things. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So the same thing in Christianity. Do the difficult stuff. Go after the souls. And win souls in large quantities. Are we together? It is great value. When we have a good value judgment system. I'm not saying you are going to be popular. I'm not saying that your name is going to be there. I'm not saying that your name is going to be on the social, on the internet, and everybody's. But I'm saying that you will be greatly valued in the kingdom of God. You'll be greatly valued in the kingdom of God. Praise God forevermore. So the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 talks about our models. Models means the one I want to be like. The people that we are told to emulate in Christianity are people who labor towards souls. People who do things not for their own selves but for the sake of others working in God's plans. Praise God forevermore. So evangelism, winning souls, has a lot to do with answering questions. You must know how to answer questions. Because that's evangelism. Answering questions. Praise God. In Acts 8, you see questions by the Ethiopian Enoch. Acts 8. So evangelism is in a form of conversation. And it does not happen within the church. It happens outside. Because
sinners don't come to church. That's what T.L. Osborne said. T.L. Osborne. He says, sinners don't come to church. T.L. Osborne said, anyone that comes to church is already saved. He just does not know it. Yes. I'm not talking about the disciples. I mean, if you just see a random person find his way to church, the work of salvation is already done in his heart. He just doesn't know it. Sinners. Sinners don't come to church. They don't like church. And they are bold about it. And they are fine with it. And that's the tasking part of it. That somebody who does not like God, does not like church, does not like the things of God, you are sent to the person to now make the person a devotee of the things they did not like before. That is where the supernatural power of God comes in. Prayer. So, ministry can't be done with gimmicks. Holy Badra ministry, Holy She ministry. Because ministry is in the heart of people. Heart. It's in the heart of people. God changing hearts of people. God changing hearts of people. Somebody that likes killing and stealing. He likes to steal and kill people and steal their belongings and going to sell and enriching himself, killing and stealing, cheating, robbing, killing, stealing, enriching himself. And then you have been called to go to him and make an apostle out of him. So he will no more be killing and stealing to enrich himself. He will lose all he has for the sake of others. It takes the supernatural. It takes the supernatural. So you think it's that kind of person that you will write Christ the Savior in front of a cardboard and be smiling as the person is driving by and the person will just be saved? Evangelist dilemma easy go. The person will just say, Christ the Savior, written on your cardboard, and you are smiling on the highway beside the road. There are now 14 of you. Just give me those 14 people for 1 month. Give me those 14 people for 6 months. If you see a cardboard, you will run from it. Give me those 14 people. Just give me those 14 people. Give me those 14 people for 6 months and bring them food once a day. Bring them food once a day. In 14 days, 21 days, 40 days. Christ the Savior will not just be written on cardboard, it will be written everywhere around you. But that's not evangelism. Can we do the real work and stop loitering around wasting times and resources? So you stand there for 2 hours. 2 hours here in serious conversations, prayerfully, with the gifts of the Spirit. Sharp! Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. And the gifts of healing. Sharp in your ministry. If you enter the streets, you will knock out 3 prostitutes. You will snatch 4 drug guys. You will get people saved. Get them filled. They will speak in tongues right there. In 2 hours, you will get like 10 people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Then 20 of you will carry cardboard. Jesus is looking at you and he's shaking his head. Are we together? And I hope there is none of you that when you see those things, yeah, how I wish this is the way we also do it in our church. Ele Idu. Are we together? See, I do the serious work. That's it. Are we together? Preaching. God gave me a voice. Praise God. So we have to go out to where the sinners are. Are we together, church? The last meeting I mentioned today, which I'll build on next week, is a healing service. What we call the healing meeting, where we minister to the sick. The healing meeting. A healing meeting, you see in Luke 5:17, can occur alongside teaching. A healing meeting can occur alongside teaching. Are we together? The healing meeting can also occur while we are praying. The healing meeting can also occur alongside evangelism. Are we together? So it's a dynamic healing, and there's a reason why. It's a dynamic meeting, and there's a reason why. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. There's a reason why healing is so close to those three meetings. Are we together? We'll talk about it next week. But we're going to observe something that, and I want you to think about it. Jesus healed throughout his ministry. But observe that Jesus had no particular sermon for healing. Do you observe that? Jesus has no particular teaching for healing. So healing needs no particular sermon to happen. It's okay to teach on healing. Is it clear? God's willingness to heal, graciousness to heal, readiness to heal, ability to heal. It's fine. But you observe Jesus didn't have a particular sermon for healing to show you that healing and miracles were simply a sign of his doctrine. Can you play for me as I close? They were a sign of his what? Of his doctrine. A sign of his teaching ministry. Notable is the fact that Abraham also healed the sick. Hope you knew that. Hope you know that. Abraham healed. You go read Genesis where we see Abraham healed. There was a time that a guy would have taken his wife. His husband was barren. God had to tell him, Abimelech, you will die. He saw that man's right to him. He said, man, he's the prophet. And let him pray for you and your wives. So Abraham prayed. And then they became fruitful. Moses also healed the sick. The leprosy on Miriam, he healed her of leprosy. And a number of other people. Are we together? Are we together? So, and definitely, is to show you that healing, amen, follows the ministry of Christ. Follows the ministry of Christ. I'm showing you these things because as disciples, there are no, these are your signs. There are no ways to demonstrate you are a disciple of Christ or you are doing his work outside the things I'm talking about, that we have been talking about. That's why we title this teaching Christian Discipleship. It's to help you to separate the chaff from the wheat. So you see that, oh, what do we look out for in a disciple? What is generally commonly available? But what is specific to disciples? That's what we're looking at. So these are specific. Firstly is your understanding of discipleship and the meetings. There was, I couldn't talk about discipleship today because I planned to, but I can't do that now because time is over. I'll talk about it in our next meeting. Praise God. So healing follows the ministry of Christ. In Luke 5:17 we see healing. Matthew 8:16 we see healing. Accompanying teaching in both cases. Matthew 8:3 healing accompanying teaching. Matthew 14:4 healing accompanying meetings. Matthew 4, I think that'll be verse 24 also. Matthew 12:15. Matthew 14:14. Matthew 15:30. Matthew 19:2. We see healing healing. Mark 16:15-18, Jesus says healing, we are complete. So we can actually have a service called the healing service. Healing service. Some people call it healing and miracle service. Some people call it healing, deliverance, and miracle service. Whatever you want to call it. But it's actually a healing service. Now, the reason why many people call it healing and deliverance service is because many times sicknesses are caused by demons. Yes. Sicknesses can be caused by demons. Sometimes a demon can originate a sickness. And sometimes there is already a sickness or a weakness in the body, and a demon comes to what? Exploit. So what it means that at that particular point in time, it is no more just ordinary. And there are signs of it. Are we together? That's why many times when you cast out a devil, a sickness will now start getting healed. When you send out the demon, you cast out the devil. I've seen that countless times. I had to cast out the devils. And then when I said, oh, the person now started getting better. Are we together? Sometimes it's even the person that invites the demon carelessly. And it can be a Christian. When somebody has a condition and all you do about the condition is that you murmur and grumble and murmur and grumble and murmur and grumble, you don't know that your words has a whole lot of supernatural implication on you. The same way the Spirit of God can by your words, the same way you can by your words employ the ministry of angels, you can by your words make yourself vulnerable to the works of Satan. So many times a sickness is there, right? Yes, we understand that you are ill, you are sick, and that's not good, and we're praying and we should be there to help you out of it. But when your words are contrary to God's word and all you do is complain about your condition and you complain, you are inviting demons to feast on the condition, and they love it. Just like flies love it when a situation is messy, demons enjoy when all you do is complain. So we can have a healing service. Glory to God forevermore. We can have a healing meeting, which can occur when we are teaching, right? Observe in Acts 3, they were going to pray and there was healing happened. Are we together? There was healing. So we can have healing at the time of prayer or during prayer. That means we can expect that in our prayer meetings, people who come in are healed. Are we together? Before service is done. Is it clear, church? And that is what prayer group leaders should focus on. That while you are leading prayer, you don't even have to say it. You don't have to say it. But you came with the consciousness that I am told to lead this prayer group today. In your own consciousness, as I lead this prayer group, anyone who came in sick, are we together, will be healed. And look at it. If people can come into prayer meetings sick, then people can come into prayer meetings depressed. And as you lead the prayer, glory to God. Now I'm sure that there was a prayer leader in Acts 4. There was a prayer leader. But the fellow was to have led that prayer. That at the end, he says the place was what? Was shaking together. So as I lead the prayer, as you lead the prayer meeting, everyone who came in depressed, discouraged, distracted. See, you must mind those three things. Depression, distraction, and discouragement is the work of Satan. Prayer meetings can end it. What did I say? Depression, discouragement, and what? Distraction. It starts from discouragement. That was the first thing. Discouragement. You can add one more. Disappointment. It starts from disappointments. Then disappointments leads to discouragement, right? Then when you allow yourself to be discouraged, the next thing is that what? You are going to be distracted. Your focus is no more where it should be. When you allow yourself to be distracted from the grace of God, the supply of God, the glory of God, the help of God, you fall into what? Depression. Are we together? From there, Satan can do anything. It's out of depression that he made a minister of the gospel to kill himself. That's what Judas did. Judas went to hang himself. Pastor went to hang himself. He went to hang himself. He went to hang himself. Because he was depressed. Because he was what? Distracted. Because he was what? Discouraged. Because he was disappointed. Sometimes you are disappointed as your own self. It's not enough. Meetings takes care of that. And prayer meetings is one of them. People can be healed. And the people can also be healed as we take the gospel to the world. We'll talk about the next kind of meeting in the next meeting. Are we together, church? So a healing meeting can occur when we are teaching. A healing meeting can occur. Look at this. You know, teaching meeting is also follow-up. Where you go, follow-up. Haven't gotten someone saved, you now visit the person again. That's a teaching meeting. Two of you are meeting. Anywhere two or three people are gathered, my name, I'm there. So you are going there to follow a new convert, to explain to him what had happened in the last meeting when he received the gospel. That is teaching it. He can be healed right there. Because the gifts of the Spirit works with you. The gifts of the Spirit works with me. The gifts of the Spirit works with my ministry. I've gotten someone here before in business. I mean, we're having a business conversation. And then I saw that the face wasn't looking so good. And I said, I know we're having a business talk here and all that, and I should be professional. I should talk about this, but I don't know. It looks like you don't feel good. You see, you must know how to have conversation. It looks like you don't feel good. And then we wanted to just shove it away. I said, I'm sorry I said that, but that's just what I felt. Or, do you feel great and good to have this conversation? I said, I'm actually, so what's the condition? So he told me what the condition was, and he was having a symptom. His entire left part of the belly from chest down, a burning sensation. He said it's not comfortable. It was, by the time I now mentioned it, it was not like maybe Satan now really, let me do what I want to do before. The guy would now wanted to fall down in my office. He wanted to fall down. So I just said, sit down. So I put away the business and all that. So I put hands on him there. And I said a word of prayer. So he looked at me. His eyes were wide open like a cat that saw watermelon. Wow, what did he just do? I said, I just prayed for you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. So we'll go back to business. Yeah. And we did the business. You know. But the gifts of the Spirit works with you. Are we together? In the hospital. Now, if you're told to give drugs to people in the hospital, give them drugs. I said, no drugs! All of you patients this morning, line up. You might not return the following day. Are we together? But you know, you can just talk to someone and say, I don't know if you are open to prayer. Yes, okay, outside office time. I'd like to meet you somewhere. And then it doesn't stop you from going ahead, taking medication. But I'd like to minister to the person. The person can get healed. Praise God. Because the gift of healing works with you. Hallelujah. You're waiting for me to shut my nose. The gift of healing works with me. So I can hold the healing meeting anyway. I don't think there's a place I've not held healing meeting. I've held healing meeting in a bus before. Are we together? In a moving bus. You know, people can do different things in a moving bus. Are we together? Are we together? People can even kidnap people in a moving bus and strip them of all their goods and send them away. Are we together? A very, very dastard act. You can have a healing meeting there. We are the accredited agents of this omnipotence. Are we together? We can heal the sick.
So these are the things that makes you a disciple. Learning them, getting better at them, progressing in them, going all out for them, prayer meetings, teaching. If there were other ways to be a disciple of Jesus, I would have told you. But you don't become a disciple of Jesus by having a $1 billion company. No. You are not a disciple of Jesus because you have houses and cars and homes and people and influence and your name is everywhere and your company is on Forbes list and all of that. No, you are not a disciple of Jesus because you are the top of your career. It's good to have all these things I just mentioned. But there's a distinction between a disciple and a non-disciple. And it is not in those natural things, but it's in discipleship. Hallelujah. The meetings, the ministry, the activities, and the signs. Hallelujah. The meetings, the ministry, the attitude, the activities, and the signs. The ministry, the meetings, the attitude, the activities, and the what? And the signs. They have a ministry of a disciple. I have the meetings. I'm in the meetings of disciples. I have the attitude of disciples. I have the activities. I'm given to the activities of a disciple. Hallelujah. 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 What's the last dimension? Signs. They have the signs of a disciple. First of all, I have the meetings. I attend the meetings of a disciple. I have the ministry of discipleship. I have the ministry of discipleship. I have the activities of a disciple. I have the attitude of a disciple. What's the last thing again? And I have the signs. Tell your neighbor, say you have the signs. Say you have the signs. Say you have the signs. Tell the fellow, say you have the signs. Say I know you. I know you in the world. I know you can heal the sick. I know you can teach the world. You can enlighten the unsaved. You can get men saved. You can minister the spirit. Say you have the signs. Say I know you. Say I know you, Joe. Say I know you, Joe. Say you that I know. Say you that I know. Say I know you, Joe. You have the ministry. You have the message. You are in the meetings. You have the attitude. You have the activities. And the signs of the disciple are abundant with you. Praise the Holy Ghost. As we go in the new week, it is the last week of September. And we're grateful to God. And we are thankful to the Spirit of God. We're grateful to the Holy Ghost. Yes. Meetings, have an attitude, have the activities, have the time.